If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to a very familiar verse of Scripture. Amen. These aren't exactly what I read before, but the book of Esther. If you'll turn with me, and my wife has reminded me, I preached from Esther not long ago. And now I want you to understand something. I'll preach from it again next week if I feel like God wants me to. Amen. My wife wasn't with me at the time, but I preached an entire three-week revival out of the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. And every night I went to the same place. This lady come up about the middle of the second week. She said, "You know anything else?" I said, "Y'all ain't caught this yet." I have a friend that pastored a church in Tuscaloosa, an acquaintance, let's put it that way. He came there. He was 24 years old. He retired at 50-something. And when he first came to the church, they were looking for a man with an education, and he had graduated seminary, and they got him there. And he met all their criteria. He preached that first morning. They were so excited, they voted him in. He stayed there 40 years, but for about 2 or 3 weeks, he kept preaching the same sermon. Finally, they called him back in. The deacon board said, "Hey, did you know anything else?" He said, "Yes, as soon as y'all get through with this, I'll move on to the next one." He stayed there 40 years, so they must have started moving on. Esther chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Then I'm going to skip down and read verse 10 and verse 11. "And after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did he reverence." The 10th verse. "And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, 'The silver is given thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to thee.'" Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us. Use us today, God, for your glory. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, "Hey, I'm getting loose today." Amen. How many of you had a hard time this year? Amen. Some of you are so bad off you can't raise your hands. Glory. Look at that. Now, I hope none of y'all are here going to be them folks who are going to run up to me and talk about you blessed and ask for an offering. I told y'all about the fellow that was always blessed in Buell. Come up to the house one day, I said, "Man, how you doing?" He said, "I'm blessed." Got around the backyard. He said, "Man, I need 50 bucks. I said, "No, man, you blessed." Because see, if you're having trouble and you just deny it, that's not faith. That's stupidity. Oh, somebody said, "You're going to make somebody mad." My wife told me quit using words as blunt as that, but I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. If you live in denial, that's not solved the problem. If you act like the problem ain't there, that's not dealing with the problem. What you've got to understand is if there's trouble going on, you need to be real. Because there's some people watching you, and if things keep going down the tubes, they're going to say, "Hey, wait a minute, that God they serve ain't worth nothing because he couldn't help them in a time of need." What we need is some folks who said, "Look, I know there's a fire out there, but my God's going to take me through that fire, and I'm going to make it through that fire. And when I come out the other side, folks are going to know your God is a God that can keep you even when things ain't going so good." Could you say amen? Oh, now I want to talk to you this morning on a subject: when the enemy advances. Amen. Notice something. Haman has been put in place now. Satan's been working on this thing for a long time. Any of y'all know who Agag was? He was the king of the people of Amalek, who Saul was supposed to destroy. But Saul decided he knew more about things than God did, so he didn't kill Agag. He decided to keep him. He decided to keep some of the people of Amalek. And all of a sudden, the Amalekites begin to spread. Next thing you know, they're fighting a giant that is a descendant of Agag. Next thing you know, they're getting the Ark of the Covenant is taken away by Assyrians, who were the descendants of Agag. Next thing you know, you got a guy named Haman who gets into this this place, who is an Agite, meaning he is a descendant of the bloodline of King Agag that Saul was supposed to took out because they were in direct violation of God, and God was trying to protect his people. And now this man has been put in place, and all of a sudden the king grabs that man because Satan is trying to push him up, and the next thing you know, he gets advanced. He gets put in head of the kingdom. Next thing you know, he's got a ring put on his finger, and everything's looking good. And that ring means I've got rule of this country. I'm going to make it because this ring's important, and I'm who I am. And notice what he said. He said, you can do with the silver and with the people whatever you desire. Can I tell you, Satan now has put people in key positions in this world to try to tear this world down and to take out even the faith of kids, of the children of God. And we ourselves need to make up our mind when the enemy advances, there is a response I've got to have. I've got to come to that place where I realize it may be a problem today, but I still got a God that's greater than anything that's going to come against me. I got a God that can carry me through whenever things going down. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the problem we got is some of us are running away from God instead of running to God. Because sometimes it's hard to live right when things ain't going good. Come on, church. And see, some like to go find them preachers, tell them what they want to hear. Like, oh, everything's okay, and you're okay, and I'm okay, and we're all okay. And I'll be honest with you, church. I don't know if y'all figured it out yet or not, but I'm not one of them preachers. Amen. Because if it ain't okay, you need to get it right. Because running away from God is not going to help you in a time of trouble. Amen. Notice this in Esther chapter 2, verse 7. And he brought in Hadash, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and a maid was fair and beautiful, who Mordecai, when her father and mother died, took for his own daughter. Now notice this, Esther is a slave. She's a Jew, she's a slave. Not only is she a slave, she's an orphan. But notice what God does. He picks up that most unlikely person in the kingdom and says, now I'm going to put them in a place they can do a work for me, and I'm going to set them in a position where they can do something for me. And notice this, he picks that girl up and he gets her over to the king. And notice what it said in the 17th verse of the second chapter, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. All of a sudden, this girl who's an orphan, who is a slave, suddenly becomes queen. Now that don't happen by accident. She's got a God that said, I'm going to put you in a strategic place because the enemy's making an advancement and I need you to be in the way. Can I tell you that 40 years ago there was a church started on the creek bank of a place called Buck Creek, and God said, I'm going to put that church, and at such a time I need it, it's going to make a stand for me, because the enemy's going to come in and that church is going to move, and it ain't going to be easy, and the church is going to have problems. It's going to run up and down, but there's going to come a time when I'm going to put my hand on that congregation and I'm going to move in them. Can I tell you, this is the day and this is the hour that God is ready for this church to stand to be counted. Hallelujah. Woo. Esther gets into a place of influence, but just as she gets to the place, the enemy starts getting advanced. The king gave him the ring. Y'all remember when the prodigal son came home and the dad took the ring off, put it on his finger? You know what that was for? So nobody would kill that son. That's why he run to him when he saw him coming, because he had been lost to the family, but now he's back in. Now all of a sudden he's got power. Notice the third chapter, sixth verse. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Assyrus, even the people of Mordecai. Amen. This guy, all of a sudden, the devil gets into power, and immediately he starts making plans to destroy the children of God. Can I tell you, while you're sleeping at home at night like everything's all right, the satanic church is working to try to tear your family apart. Young man on an airplane sat down beside a young lady. They're riding down through there. She don't want to talk to him, because you don't start conversations with people you don't know. And about that time, the lady come by taking orders for drinks or whatever. And he said, ma'am, I'll have a glass of water, but I don't want anything to eat. I'm fasting. The young lady was excited. She was from Assembly of God Church in Los Angeles, California. And I'll never forget, she told him, said, "Hey, I'm from such and such Eagle Nest Assembly of God in Los Angeles, California. Where are you at? I hear you're fasting." He said, "I'm a member of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California." She said, "And you're fasting?" He said, "Yes. Our Lord Satan has called us to a time of fasting and prayer that we might destroy the families of the churches of the people who think they're winning." I want to tell you something, friend. It's time some of us realize the enemy is on our track, and it's time we got to be in business with God. Could you say amen? You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at? Satan is doing everything he can to take our children and to take us." Amen. And the enemy today is advancing to destroy us and to take us down. Can I tell you, church, we're not battling Baptists or Methodists. Our fight's not with human beings, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But if we'll get ourselves where we need to be and understand why God put us here, we can be overcomers in the power of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. First of all, Esther recognizes that the enemy is advancing. Some people just won't be real about what's going on. Huh? We got folks in the church trying to walk on water when they can't even walk on land. I'm going to let that sink in. See, some of y'all here, "I'm going to walk on water." You can't even keep standing up with the stuff coming by you while you're walking on land. You ain't never going to walk on water till you've been in the boat. Hello? Well, that's good preaching. When God gets ready to advance you to a place you've never been, you're going to fight an enemy you've never faced. Well, let's face it, church, if you're fighting the same devils all the time, you're just going to the same place you always been. But if you want to get some new territory in a bigger destiny, move somewhere God really wants you to go, then you better believe you're fixing to fight something different, because Satan ain't going to be happy about you moving. Come on, church. You may not believe this, but we've got people that won't be preachers that they know God called them to preach because they're afraid of what the devil is going to do to them. Well, he's already got them. He don't have to worry about what they're going to do. We got people sitting in these pews right now that will not dedicate themselves to God because they're afraid if they really get close to God, the devil's going to come visit them. Can I tell you, the closer you get to God, the less you got to worry about what the devil's going to do to you. Oh, he's going to turn up the heat. But the more God in you, amen, the more God in you, the less the devil can do to you. Could you say amen to that, church? We need to get to that place where we understand greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. And we need to understand I may have to fight a battle tomorrow, but there's victory coming. Could you say amen? God will always match your enemy to your destiny. Hello? I found in my life every time I wanted to move to the next level, I had to fight a new set of devils. Oh, and it gets tough. I'm not going to lie to you. I heard preachers say years ago, "I resign every Monday morning." Pastors would tell me that, and I said, "Y'all stupid, I resign every night." Glory. I mean, I'd go to revival and head home, and I'd be going to the house. Why am I doing this? This is dumb. Come on, church. Because I'd be fighting the devil. I don't know how many times I've typed out my resignation and wrapped my papers up in them and got ready to mail them and pray through before I dropped them in the mail. Glory. Hello? I want to tell you, when I have that encounter with God, I begin to realize I'm fighting a different devil because he got a better destiny. There's something bigger out there. Come on, church. He may see some of us sitting around, "Oh, God, take this burden away." Stop shrinking your destiny. Some of you want to get rid of the problem when you ought to go through that problem. My Lord, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had never gone through the fire, they'd never know God could keep them in the fire. But when they come out the other side, they were looking for the next furnace. Amen. Church, some of us needs to realize we shrink our destiny by trying to tell the problems to get out of the way. Come on, church. Y'all write this down. It's going to be on the screen, on the sign next week. David didn't get to be king by killing a midget. Hello? If you're a short person, that's no derogatory statement to you, but killing midgets ain't going to make you king. Fighting small battles is not going to get you there. Come on, church. You say, "What are you talking about?" David goes down there and he's going to have to make it to the next level. God's already got set for him to become king. He understands he can't be king if all he knows how to do is care for one little old lamb. Amen. So he sends him through a process. You ever watch the growth of David? My Lord, he's out there in the field. His daddy's got him working with the other guys. He's just a sheep man. He's not a shepherd yet. He's just a kid helping with the sheep. They got another guy in charge of the whole bunch. A lion shows up and he kills kills a lion and saves a lamb. It ain't long. That makes him a shepherd. Now he's the shepherd. He kills a bear and saves the entire flock. It ain't long till he's down there with the army and he kills a giant and saves the army. Then he kills an army and saves the nation. And the next thing you know, he's sitting on a throne with a crown on his head and they're singing songs about him because he's grown in the power of God. And some of you keep fighting the same lion because you ain't willing to move up to the next level. But this time you said, lion, I'm through with you. I'm moving to a bear. I'm going on in God. Woo! See, the problem you got is when the enemy gets bigger, you'll be tempted to change your approach. David goes down and tells Saul, I can handle that dude. Saul says, let me fix you up, dude. Let me give you my armor. If his armor worked that good, why wasn't he wearing it? Huh? Read your Bible. Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody in his army. That dude down there is 9 foot tall. He's the biggest man in the group. He ought to be the one fighting him. Instead, he's not on the hill. He's behind the hill hiding. Ain't got his armor on because he ain't taking no chance of him thinking he wants to fight. And he gives it to David. I want y'all to notice something. David, a little ruddy teenage boy, goes walking in there. He ain't big as the men. And this guy's head and shoulders above him. And he puts that mail on him. That's chain, if those don't know what that is. They put that little chain vest on him. He's sitting down, all of a sudden he's bent down, he puts a helmet on him. I used to have a cartoon of that, where he put the helmet on him, it actually fit all the way down over his nose where it's supposed to stop on his head. You can see him sitting there looking out the, you know, little cracks in the crown. And he's standing there wiggling around going, you know, I can't move in this, much less fight. And all of a sudden he said, I'm not going to use this. I've never tried this. I don't know nothing about this. You know what? The devil loves to get you to fight his way. Come on, church. See, one thing I learned playing sports, if you got a certain way you're playing the game, you get to the other team, start playing your way, you'll beat them every time because they don't know how to play your way. And the devil loves to get you to change the way you do things so he can get you fighting his battle his way. And all of a sudden, David turned around and said, no, I've never tried this armor. I'll leave it. He said, what do you use? He said, well, I got this sling and some rocks. And he said, I'll go out there and take him with this. And I can see Saul going, oh, God, this kid finna go get killed. But at least we got somebody going to stand up to him. And David, he's not tried that sling, got so much confidence in it, he goes by the creek and grabs 5 rocks. So that's not confidence. It is when you realize he knew there were 4 other giants over there, and just in case he didn't like what he did to one, he's going to take the other 4 out. Come on, church. Read your Bible. Some of y'all looking at me. You know what he did when he became king? He killed all 4 of those guys because he made sure they wasn't going to come back and try to get in his face in another battle. He got rid of them. Come on, church. That's good preaching. That's another sermon. He said, what are you talking about? He didn't change the way he done things. He said, wait a minute. This sling was good enough for the lion under the anointing of God. It's good enough for that giant. If it was good enough for a bear, it's good enough for the giant. Can I tell you what worked yesterday, what worked in the church today? Oh, come on, church. We got seminars on how to do it a different way, how we ought to be doing it right now. Can I tell you, I've noticed something. Everybody that's gone to some of these new programs are shutting the churches down and moving every 6 months, and I think it's time we get back to the old things of prayer and fasting and worshiping God and getting the word of God back in the house of the Lord. And I believe if we'll do that, we can find a God that's just as real today as he's ever been, a God that can still save, still change lives, still break bondage and set them free. Could you say amen? It's the anointing, folks. It's not something else. It is the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. Hello. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. The church will never grow until it quits trying to grow and starts focusing on God. Hello. I got shelves full of church growth books. I can give you all kind of theories on how to make it go. We even got a guy teaching right now in this state. If the overseer hears this, he's going to shoot me. 24 to double. We got guys giving them $200 a month to learn how to double their church in 24 months. I'm going to tell you what's going to be funny. Because a man made the statement, if you don't double in 24 months, we give you money back. Ain't one of them churches doubled yet. Half them preachers have moved. Hello? Don't look at me. They wanted me to go. I'm glad I wasn't a pastor at the time. I told them no. When I got in, they said, you can still get in. I said, I'm cool. Glory. They're not teaching them how to pray and fast. They're teaching them things they can do to make a church grow. But let me ask you something, church. Do we want a social setting? Or do we want a church? Do we want a place where people can come and feel like they're really moving up in society? Or do we want a place where an alcoholic can get delivered, a drug addict can find a peace of God, where somebody that's lost can find hope, where there's nothing else can help them? Can you say amen? Glory. See, what we got to do is do like this. We got to understand our strength comes from God. And even when the enemies advance, even when it looks like we're going down, if we'll seek God, God will bring us through. Any of y'all ever read the story of Samson? I mean, they got his eyes plucked out, got his hair cut, they're making sport out of him. And he says, oh, God, one more time, let me feel your touch. And in his dying, he killed twice as many as he ever did in his life because I got a God that honored his prayer. Can I tell you, church, it's time for us to get on our knees and say, God, one more time, let us see a move of your glory. God, one more time, let us feel the touch of your grace. God, one more time, let us move in your presence. Could you say amen? Number two, Esther realized she was put into a position by God. Hello? Esther chapter 4, verse 11, and all the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into this inner court, who is not called, there is one law. He has put him to death, except such at whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king's house these 30 days. The first thing the enemy tries to do is intimidate Esther. Hello? Esther knows I'm the queen. But then she turns around, Mordecai says, you need to go in and talk to the king. I want to ask you something, fellas. Y'all just be honest. Who's going to get your attention quicker? Somebody you ain't never met or your wife? I love our brother from Africa. I want him and his wife to stay around my wife quite a bit. We're coming down the road this morning. Frida called me to tell me something. I hung up the phone. I said, does your wife ever do that? He said, no. She's a good pastor, but she's a better wife. I'm like, actually, you might not have her hang around Frida too much. You'll understand what a to-do list is. But she understands. Mordecai says, you need to go talk to the king. And she spins around and quotes to him the law. Said, don't you understand unless he calls me and I go into his presence without that, and he point that scepter at me and I say anything, I'm going to die. First thing happens when you find out you're really in a position to do something for God, the devil realizes it also, and he's going to do the best he can to scare you. And all of a sudden, fear started to dominate her life. Can I tell you, fear is one of the greatest things of the devil, the greatest tool he's got. Amen. That's why he likes us watching these goofy shows. It makes us think there's such things as vampires and werewolves and all this kind of stuff, because he likes you scared. Can I tell you, you wouldn't be having nightmares about junk if you didn't watch junk? Huh? People dreaming about people breaking the house, killing them because they've been watching CSI. But watching that junk, you quit worrying about people breaking in on you. If they do, there ain't nothing you can do about it. Hello? Man, I'm in Romania. You all know what Transylvania is? It's a southern section of Romania. But we're in Transylvania one night. It's a full moon. I'm going to walk across the street and get a Pepsi. The overseer of one of our states in America stopped me and said, where are you going? I'm going to get a drink. He said, it's a full moon. This is the same guy wanted to buy a garlic necklace and wear it, and I refused while I was riding by him in that van. I mean, they're supposed to keep the vampires away, but if he wanted to buy it, he was going to get up on top of the van riding, not in there with me. But he was afraid there were vampires there. It was a full moon. I went out the door, and he stood and watched, and when I come back, he was gone because he got away from the door thinking he was going to watch me get killed. I told somebody, I said, if I'd have had a ketchup box, I'd have popped it on my neck, kept running back, and I'd have made him have a heart attack. Boy. But he was literally taken with fear. See, some of y'all don't understand this, but sometimes you can get so scared, your faith flies out the window. You can have so much fear, there is no faith. Any of y'all ever had the faith knocked out of you? Huh? Come on, church. You riding along, everything going good, and your faith just disappears. Well, that don't happen to Christians. It happened to John the Baptist. He stood there and called Jesus Son of God. When he got in prison, he said, go see if he's really who I thought he was. Because the fear and the problems of that prison had choked his faith down to nothing. And it can happen to you. Amen. But when we come to that place, we got to understand, if I run now, I'm going to keep running. Can I tell you, church, one of the problems some people have is when the going gets tough, they turn around and head the other way. But can I tell you, when the going gets tough, you need to bow up and say, wait a minute, I know that my destiny's on the other end of this road, and I'm coming through, and I'm headed toward it, and I'm not back up, because God has put me here to do a work. God's put us here to position us. Come here, Thomas, birthday boy, I need some help. God puts us in a place. Let me turn around, face the people. Take your best fighting stance. Have you got one? Well, I want you pointing at me, pointing at them. I just want you to be ready to fight. You're not going to fight them. Just get ready. The enemy's going to come down this thing and get you. But you get ready to fight. Put your fist up. Stand there. Now just stand there. See, God gets you in a good position like that. No, you're still right there. Because see, what happens is God gets you in a position and it's like he left you. But you got to understand, he put you there and he left you because he understands something. That where two or three are gathered together, I'm going to do a work. And while you there, see, this is what happens. He leaves you and you just quit. Get back in the position. Assume the position. And all of a sudden you got two. Then he runs over and gets a third and said, come here, brother. Hey, man, get up here and get in a position. And now we got them ready to go because we got God getting in the middle of it and we're getting ready to do something. But he's got to get you to stay in position, because if you don't, you walk off, he got to go get somebody else. And God's spending all his time trying to get people in position, and so we can't grow, because about time we get going, somebody drops out. But it's time for us to make up our mind. I ain't going anywhere anymore. I'm ready to do a work for God. I'm ready to see God do something. God bless you, fellas. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. It's 12 o'clock. Some of you ready to get out of position? See, church, sometimes it's not about you. It's about the place. See, sometimes Satan's not attacking you to get you. He wants the whole bunch, and you're the way to get to him. Hello? Whew. Everybody's had times they want to quit, but can you not understand that most of the time you quit, it's right before you have a breakthrough? Because Satan's going to turn up the pressure just before something blows. And it's time for us to realize, if we can make it through the pressure, we're going to see the power of God begin to move. Amen. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen. Then Mordecai answered and commanded Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. In other words, he tells in that fourth verse, he said, hey, don't you understand? You keep your mouth shut, he ain't gonna let you live either. You're a Jew. Sooner or later, he's gonna find a way to kill you. But now notice this. He said, but understand this. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, if you don't do what God put you to do, he got somebody going to take your place. Come on, church. Can I tell you, either we going to stand up and do what we need to do, or God's going to find somebody else that's going to stand up and do what we ought to be doing. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, church. I don't want somebody else doing what God's called me to do. I don't want somebody taking my place and getting my blessings. Come on, church. I want to do what God sent me to do. I want to get where God wanted me to go and do what he wanted me to do. Can I say it here and amen out of you? Amen. Y'all need to help me. It'll be 12:30 and the food's going to get cold. Glory. Notice this. But if thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. In other words, he said, if you don't do what you're called to do, somebody's going to take your place. Now notice the response to the enemy's advance. In the 16th verse, 4th chapter. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Hello? All of a sudden she says, hey, I know in whom I believe. I know my God's able. Amen. She starts getting prayed through. Oh, my God said, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? All of a sudden, she's thinking about the prophet Isaiah. Said, hey, there's a prophet down the road going to write these words. Oh, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to raise up a standard against him. Some of y'all need to realize, if you'll just do all you know how to do and stand, I got a God. Said, if you're doing all you know how to do, you ain't got to do anything else. I'm coming on the scene. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. Could you say amen? Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Her response to the outgrowth of what was going on. Notice this. Now it came to pass, fifth chapter, first three verses. Came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court, the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his throne in his royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther, the queen, stand in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Come on, church. Oh, she did what she did to get where she was. She goes in there and gets all spiffed up. I ain't doubt she probably put that wedding gown on that caught his attention the first time. And she's standing over in the corner. Huh? And that king looks over there and says, whoa. Come here, baby. What do you want? Because he understands she ain't dressed up like this just come talk. And then said the king to her, what will thou, King Esther? What is thy request? It shall be given even the half of the kingdom. Notice the fourth and fifth verse. Esther answered, if it seem good unto thee, king, let the king and Haman come to this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. And then the king says, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. And the king and Haman came to the banquet, and Esther prepared. Ain't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? You got an enemy trying to destroy you, and you set up a worship service and invite him. Come on, Haman, we're going to have a big time. You can get to be part of it. Let me ask you something, folks, because this is a question some of y'all really need to ask yourself. Would you rather have the kingdom or the king? Hello? See, some of you worried about the stuff you get. That's the kingdom. Some of y'all be sitting there going, oh, my God, he's going to give me half his gold. Oh, because, see, that's what some folks in church for. They've been swallowing that junk about how rich they're going to get because they're going to church. You might as well play slot machines. Come on, church. I said, wait a minute, preacher. I give to God. I do. But if I give to get, the Bible said I already got my reward. If all I'm here for, because I'm going to get rich, I'm here for the wrong reason. I'm not here to get the kingdom. I don't need the kingdom. I want the king. I'm here to find Jesus. I'm here to get a hold of him. Why? Because if I get him, everything else takes care of itself. Could you say amen? But as she is having that banquet, she got the king and she bringing Haman. Oh, all her financial troubles is coming. All of her spiritual troubles is coming. All her psychological problems is coming. She's bringing them all to the worship service. Why? Because if I can get them in the presence of the king. Come on, church. Because let me tell you something. This is important. The presence of the enemy does not take away the presence of the king. Oh, she was there to pay tribute to the king, but Haman was up there. Boy, he's feeling good. And they have the thing, and all of a sudden he said, well, see, lady, what do you want now? She said, hey, if it be good with you. Would you come back tomorrow night and let's do this again? Oh, Haman's feeling real good about himself now. My God, he done been invited to the queen's house twice for supper. I'm moving up in the world. I got her thinking I'm the right guy. She don't know I'm finna kill her whole family. He's down a big time. Problem is, king's so excited about the wife cooking two meals for him. This is my story. That he can't sleep. Read your Bible. It said he's so excited the night after the first thing, he can't sleep. So he turns around and says, bring me the records. Let me look at them. See, when you get to worshiping God just right, he gets the record book out and starts looking through it. Amen. That's when you need to know you got a good record. Because you want the enemy to have the bad record. And all of a sudden, he's going through the record, and he looks down and he sees Mordecai. He said, hey, this guy Mordecai sent a message to y'all and saved my life. What did we do for him? They said, well, we ain't done nothing for him yet. He said, my God, we got to do something for him. He said, hey, go bring me somebody to tell me what I ought to do. You know, Haman's still hanging around. See if something big is going to happen. He comes walking in. The king says, Haman, I got somebody done something special for me. I need to do something with them. What should I do? Haman's thinking, oh my God, he's finna give me some more. I'm finna really move up. He said, put a royal crown on him. Put a robe around his throat. Put him on a horse and ride him through the streets. Have everybody bow to him. He said, then go get Mordecai. Put a robe on him and a crown on him. Put him on a horse and you lead him through the city. The very guy he's going to kill, he's taking through the city going. I don't want to just whoop the devil. I want to humiliate him. Come on, Peter, I'm going to whoop the devil. You ever have people like that? Every time you see him, I'm just walking on the devil. And then they backslide because they wasn't walking on the devil. They was walking beside him, didn't know the difference. Come on, church. I used to know a preacher did that all the time. He was over in Georgia. Oh, I'm walking on the devil. Every time you see him, I'm walking on the devil. Y'all seen him on national television when he's arrested for killing his girlfriend. Because he was walking on the devil. He was walking with the devil. Come on, church. He killed his girlfriend, went to prison for capital murder because it was premeditated. And well, he was one of the top evangelists in Georgia at the time. And every time you see him, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm walking on the devil. Hello? He wasn't walking on the devil. He was just deceived and believing he couldn't. And all of a sudden, Haman's going up through, and he goes, what can I do to this guy? Every time I turn around, he's in my face. I can't stand it. I mean, why do you think the devil gets mad at you? Because he knows you're connected, and he can't get to you. Come on, church. And about that time, Haman says, I says, why don't you build a gallows and hang that gopher for everybody to see? And when the king says, why'd you do it? So you told me to do what I want to do. He said, you're right. He builds a gallows. They go back the next night and have the banquet, and everything's going good. And about that time, the king says, Esther, what do you want? And she says, well, I really like to make some things right. And the king walks out, and she says, I want you to talk to my uncle and do something for him. Or my cousin, really, because that was who was raising her. And about that time, Haman goes in there, and he goes, look, I know you want me. I done figured out you figured out I want to kill everybody. I done figured out you're a Jew. Why don't you make things right? And he follows her to the bedroom. That's not what you do to a king's wife. That gets your papers pulled. Even if nothing happened. And he's in there, and the king walks in, and he's in the room with her, and he goes, what are you doing in my wife's bedchambers? What kind of idiot are you? Come in. And he goes out and says, I make a decree. Hang this man on those gallows. And they hang Haman. And then he turns around in 8th chapter. I'm going to close. Notice how he closes it out. And in that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jews, the enemy, to Esther, the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off the ring that he had taken from Haman and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Hello? Everything the enemy stole from them while he was advancing, God gave it back to them when victory came. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't give me scripture for that. Oh, Joel said, I will restore unto you the years that you have wasted. The years the anchor worm, the pommel worm, the caterpillar, my great army hath taken from you. I'm telling you, the word of God said, if you'll hang on when the enemy advances, I got victory. When the enemy comes forward, I got victory. Stand with me all over the house. I'll tell you something, church. You believe this. I know that I know that I know that God sent me to this church. I also know that a few weeks ago I stammered and stumbled a little bit because I saw the enemy advancing. And I confess to you, I actually gave thought to blowing out of here because it's a lot easier on the other side of the river sometimes. If you're not in the will of God, the other side of that river ain't worth nothing. And I made up my mind. I want the king. I don't want the kingdom. And I made up my mind, God's going to do something here. That's why I'm here. Not because I'm going to do it, but God through me and those of you that will help me, we're going to see God do a great work right here in Alabaster. We're going to blow the doors off this building. I got news for you, church. This building ain't going to be big enough for long. Somebody told me the other day, they said, get too big, I leave, bye. I'm not after numbers. I'm not a number person. Go check my record. I never kept up with, some people have 40 saved. I remember one guy came to Butte one time, had 35 saved, and there wasn't that many people went to altar all week. And they were church folks. Same guy, Cathy Frieda, getting the Holy Ghost. Hey, prayed for her, said, "You got the Holy Ghost?" She said, "Yeah, she's had the Holy Ghost," but he counted her. Because numbers were important. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm worried about souls. I'm worried about doing something for the kingdom. And as we get bigger, we're going to be getting bigger because folks are going to be coming to this altar, giving their heart to God. Lives are going to be changed. Chains are going to be bondage. They're going to be broken. People are going to realize things. Lives are going to be put back together. Marriages are going to be saved. Why? Because we got a God who has promised us that we have been put in position right here to do a work for Him. And I know the enemy's been doing everything he can to fight against it, but I'm tired of bumping against the roof and not going anywhere. It's time to move for God. It's time to say, wait a minute. It's time to do something for Him. God's ready for us to go and do a work for Him. I'm tired of killing midgets. I'm ready to fight some giants. And I'm ready to see God move. Hallelujah. Some of you have been having troubles in your life because you're getting so far, and all of a sudden the devil knows if he picks at you a little bit, you'll back up. But it's time for you to make up your mind. I've gone this far before, and I've stopped. But it's time to move on. It's time to let something happen. It's time to break through. It's time to let some bondage go. It's time to let the enemy know, just because you advance, I ain't changing what I do. I'm just digging in a little deeper and going a little harder till I get you out of the way. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation to your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.